And so tonight, that's what I'm going to be teaching about, impossible situations. But you know, my God is the God of the possible. And when I look through my life at all the things that He has delivered me from, all the miracles that He has taken me through, amen, I know what He can do. I know that nothing with God is impossible, amen. And probably there's so many examples in the Old Testament of God doing miraculous things for people. But I just chose this one, and you all know it. It's from Ezekiel chapter 37. And in Ezekiel, we see that God took the prophet Ezekiel to a valley. And when he looked out, all he saw were dead bones. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." Do you feel like that sometimes, that all you've got around you is a dead situation and you're looking at it and it looks impossible? How am I going to get out of this? How is God going to work this out? "And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." So these bones had been there a long time. They weren't recently dead. Your problem that you're going through may have been there a long time. It's not something that just crept up. It's been something that's been there a long time you've been dealing with. And that's why it's even more difficult to believe, you know, because it's not a new problem. It's something that was there a long time. And it's gotten to the point where all is left is dry and dead bones. And so the prophet looked at this. It says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley." Maybe we've got more than one dead, impossible situation we're facing. Maybe it's a whole valley of impossible situations. You know, finances, relationships, children, sickness. We're in a valley of dead bones sometimes. And this is where faith comes in. This is where our true trust in God has got to come in. Amen? "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" See, sometimes God will ask you, he's testing you. It looks impossible what you're facing. Can this thing work out? Can it ever work out to the good? Can these bones live? And if we look in the natural, the answer would, of course, to be honest, is no. There's just no way I can get out of this situation. And you've heard my testimony so many times before of how I've had so many financial crises where I've had to face hundreds of thousands of dollars of stuff. But you know what? The Lord delivered me. Delivered me. Going back so many years, I can remember the very first time I had a real crisis. It was probably 1984. I know I had crisis before, but this is the one that really comes home to me. It was about 1984, and I had just quit, lost a job, and I didn't know how we were going to manage. I had a mortgage. I had a house payment, and I didn't know how we were going to manage. And I remember going down in the basement and just laying down on the carpet and just really praying and crying out to God. And then I remember something came to me and said, there was a company you passed. And I didn't know what they did or, you know, I didn't have no clue what they were about. All it said was digital, do you remember the name of that company? DIS. Digital something or other. And something said, "Why don't you just give them a call?" So I called them and they asked me a little bit about my background. They said, "Can you come in tomorrow? Can you come in tomorrow? We want to talk to you tomorrow." So I went in. And you know what? How God does it? He will provide a raven to feed you. And I remember I was so excited because they offered me a job right then and there and asked, when could I start? Could I start the next day? Could I start? They were so desperate. And I was so happy because at that time, this is 1984, they offered me $25 an hour. And you see how God can work an impossible situation out. This was what the prophet was being faced. He was facing a valley of dead bones. And so God sometimes takes us through a valley of dead bones to just test us. Where is our faith? Where is our belief? You know, we say, everybody, you go out there and ask, do you believe in God? Yes. You ask 100 people, do you believe in God? Probably 70 of them will say, yes, I believe in God. But is that belief ever been tested? I tell you what, once you say yes, and you are a true seeker for God, Satan is going to come, the adversary is going to come and test your faith. This time God said to the prophet, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, only you know. Only you know whether this situation can be fixed. So what do we do when we're faced with an impossible situation? We have some choices, right? What do most of us do when we get... I'll tell you what I did when I... You know, you've heard my other story when I got that letter from the IRS for almost $500,000. I was shaken, let me confess. So we can panic. That's what human nature, we can panic because we don't know what to do. We don't know how it's going to work out. What's something else we do? What happens when you're in a desperate situation? You get frustrated. Well, we try and work it out. We start to think, what can I do to solve the problem? So we try and think, well, can I ask this person? Can I go here? Maybe if I did this, maybe if I sold that. We try and work it out ourselves. That's what we try and do. That's one of the things we do. Then we ask other people, right? Can you help me? You know, but sometimes the situation is so big that there isn't anyone can help us. When the doctor said, I'm sorry, we've done all we can, there isn't anyone else who can help you. So this was a situation. God took the prophet to a valley where there was nothing but dead bones, and the bones had been dry, which means they'd been that way for a long time. The miracle was needed a long time. It was a dead, dry valley. And then sometimes we ask for help. And then lastly, we pray. When nothing else, when everything else runs out, then we turn to God. Which may have been why God was leading us in that direction. Sometimes the only way God can get our attention is to take us through a valley of dry bones. If everything was going well, if you had $1,000,000, how many of you would be in church tonight? All right, well, you may be tested. You know, most of us would be on our world cruise, right? We'd be at the showroom. I'll come to church in a month after I've had some fun. You know, let's be truthful. That's why some of us cannot handle blessing. Because if we were blessed the way we want to, we would not be serving God. Let's be honest. The last thing we would be is in church. Let's be honest. So sometimes things come into our lives as the only way God can get our attention. Sometimes it's the only thing will make us pray. The only thing that will focus the mind when we get desperate is situations and negative circumstances. So let's look at worrying about a problem. Who doesn't worry? I worry. Now, the Bible, to be honest, worries us is a lack of faith, isn't it? Because if you truly believed, if you had 100% faith, you would just be resting. We look at the example of Peter. He had been arrested by Herod and cast into prison. And he was facing execution the next day. What was he doing? What was he doing? Not this time. He was sleeping. He was sleeping. Now, would you be sleeping if you knew that tomorrow morning you were going to be executed? Probably none of us could sleep. You know what? He trusted God. He decided, listen, if I die, I'm going to be with Christ. If I don't die, I get to preach his word some more. Now, that shows total trust. In fact, the angel had a hard time waking him up. He had to keep shaking him and say, get up, Peter. He was sound asleep, even though he was facing the ultimate in the next morning. So worrying about our problem usually can't fix it. In fact, Jesus said, can you make yourself grow by thinking about it? Can you make yourself go 1 inch by worrying about it? No. Don't you understand that every single bird, how many birds are there in the world? Probably billions more than there are people. The Bible says that not one bird, one little sparrow that you don't even notice, falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing about it. And Jesus went on to say, don't you think you are more valuable than a bird? The question is, do you believe it? You see, what we see about our circumstances is not the whole truth. What we're looking at is just the physical, just the natural. There is a spiritual realm that's beyond what we can see with our natural eyes. If we can only see if our reality is only the dead bones around us, then yes, we will have fear. We will have doubt. We'll have distress. But if God could open our eyes, and remember we talked about it, if God could only open our eyes so that we could see the spiritual, we would see that we're not alone. Romans 1:21 says this, because that when they knew God, speaking of the original people before the flood, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. The people before the flood, during Adam and Eve's time, all knew the reality that there was a God. Today, some people believe, some people don't. But before the flood, every single person, at least while Adam was alive, knew there was a God, because Adam lived to see his seventh generation. He lived to 930 years, and he was still alive when his great, seven times great children were alive. That means there were millions of people alive, and every single one of them knew God. But the Bible says that even though they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. What it means is that they couldn't think straight. Worry will make you not think straight. You get in such a panic that you're actually not really thinking about the situation correctly. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They did not acknowledge Him as God, neither were thankful. Paul, in his epistle, said that in every situation I've learned to be what? Content. Now, you don't get to that point overnight of learning to be content. You have to go through some stuff first, and you realize that God can keep you even in tragedy, even in tribulation. So when the next big thing comes, you've learned, okay, I've understood this. And of course, I've quoted this example so many times. David was able to face Goliath because why? Because he had confronted a lion and a bear. And he said, listen, I've been through fighting a lion. I've been through fighting a bear. So, Goliath, you can't be much worse than them. It's what God has taken us through. Sometimes we so quickly forget what God has done for us already. Has God done something for you already that was miraculous? That's how you overcome what you're facing now. You tell that devil, he's taken me through this. He's taken me through $500,000 of debt before. He's forgiven my house from foreclosure before. Amen. He's delivered me so many times from death on the roads before. So what am I facing now? Is nothing. Amen. The key is, are you going to magnify your problem? That's what most of us do, is magnify. We focus on our problem like a magnifying glass. You take a magnifying glass and you look at a cricket, and you'll make that thing so big, right? You make that insect that's small so big. The Jews, when they came into Canaan, did the same thing. After God now had delivered them out of Egypt, had turned the sea into blood, had destroyed all of Pharaoh's army, let them cross over on dry land. Think of all the miracles God had done for them. He had made food fall from the sky. He had made meat fall from the sky. And now they finally came to the promised land, and they sent out some spies to go and check it out. And they came back and said, oh, it's too tough. We can't make it. What I'm telling you right now, that the devil is telling you, you can't make it. is too tough. The land is inhabited by giants. Look at this, Numbers 13:33. When the spies came back, they said, "We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were of the giants, and we were like little grasshoppers." Now, the truth is, in the real world, that was true. There were giants. But who was fighting for them? Who was on their side? Who had delivered them so many times before? Only two of the spies came back and said, "Listen, this is no problem. We got this easily." Joshua and Caleb said, "We are well able. We are well able." Do you understand it was their fear that caused them to wander around in the wilderness now for another 40 years? They came from Egypt to the land of Canaan in 2 years. It just took them 2 years. And because now they got scared after all God had done for them, 40 more years. Do you know a lot of us are wandering around 40 years because we're scared about the next step? It looks so impossible. And God was upset. In fact, the Bible says they tested God. You know, we think God is testing us, but actually, when we are so in unbelief, we're actually testing God. Because he says, no matter what I do for this person, no matter how many times I get them out of trouble, the next big thing, they're scared and shaking. You know, if your child was so afraid of you, no matter what you did for them, wouldn't that upset you? Wouldn't that just break your heart? If no matter what you did for your child to show them love, every time you called them, they jumped. Like you were going to beat them. That's how we are with God. We're so scared that he's coming down with judgment. And so we magnify our problem instead of magnifying God. We make the problem so big that it terrifies us. That it's impossible. There was a situation in the Bible, and I didn't put it in here, but the city of Samaria, the king of Assyria had come, and he had surrounded the city for 3 years. Back then, they didn't have airplanes. So what they would do, the army would surround the city and fence them in until they ran out of food and they had to surrender. And the siege of Samaria had been going on for 3 years. So there was famine. People were eating rodents. They were eating horses. They were eating children. It got so bad. It got so bad in the city of Samaria that people were dying. And they were almost on the point of collapse. And it was an impossible situation. It looked like there was no way that they could survive. But then the prophet said, tomorrow at this time, there's going to be so much food, you won't believe it. Now, right now, your situation may look so impossible that deliverance looks like a miracle is a mile away. But you know the story of what happened. There were four lepers who were outside the wall. And they sat around the outside of the wall. So they were in a really bad situation because they weren't even allowed in the city. People just threw scraps or whatever over the wall. And so they said to themselves, "This is our choice. We can stay here and die. If we stay here, we're definitely going to die. Or else we can go forward to the camp of the enemy. And maybe they kill us, but maybe they don't." You see, the devil is telling you, stay here and die. Just give up. Just stay here and die. But you know what they decided? We're going to go forward. And you know what? Because they had faith, God made their footsteps sound like it was thunder, like it was a whole new army. The camp of the Assyrians heard these four lepers coming, and God multiplied their footsteps till they thought, the Samaritans have hired some mercenaries. We better run. And the whole camp ran away. So the four lepers walked into the camp, and everyone was gone. And they had left in such a hurry that they left all the food, all the clothes. You see how God can turn a situation around in just no time? No time. All it takes is to not decide you're just going to give up and die. Do not magnify your problem. Do not make it be so big. That's what the Jews said here. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Our problem is so big that I don't know if God can even do this. That's what we're saying. We may not spell it out, but that's what we're saying. This is so big that Well, he does it for other people. I hear about miracles of deliverance for other people. But he might not do it for me. See, you got to get like the lepers and say, listen, if we stay here, we die. If we go forward, we might die. They went forward. We have got to go forward, people. So when we do that, you see, that's our problem, really. But when we keep making it bigger, it gets so big that it becomes scary. See? We make our problem so big that we don't think anything can be done about it. But you see, God can get glory, as I've been saying, in every situation. So this is what happened. Numbers 14:1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. They heard the report of the spies that came back and said, we've come all this way, journeyed for 2 years, put up with all this wilderness, and now we come to the promised land, and it's full of giants. Oh, it's me. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, don't tell me we don't do that. When the next big, scary thing that comes into our life, we start to say, oh, woe is me. It's impossible. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, it would have been better if I died back in Egypt. See how that must have upset God? Don't you understand? I delivered you out of slavery. It's funny how our memory is so selective. We call them the good old days. But truthfully, they weren't so good. We're just remembering the good parts. Most of it wasn't that good. Most of it was the bad old days. Most of it was the bad old days. When I grew up, and I'm going to tell you some stuff now. When I grew up back in the 60s, at least in England, they didn't have indoor bathrooms. You had to go outside to the outhouse. In the early 60s, yep, I can tell you that. And the bathrooms was one with the pool chain. Anyone remember those pool chain ones? Maybe you never had them here. Maybe I'm older than you think. I used to laugh at my dad when he used to tell those stories about buying stuff for like 5 cents. You see, they weren't such good old days. And what we do normally when we get a crisis, we blame God. We turn against God. There's two things you can do when you face an impossibility. You're either going to run to God or you're going to run away from God. You're going to have a choice. See, God wants to get glory in your situation. Isn't that so? When Lazarus died, he didn't come when they wanted him to. The situation got worse. Situation got worse till Lazarus died. And I know I've taught this so many times, but it is so instructive. Jesus said that now he's dead, let's go fix it. Sometimes your situation has to get to the dry bones, because then God's glory is not in a doctor fixing the situation or in your job providing the money. It needs a miracle. And when that happens, only God could have done it. You see, David knew that. He said, I will bless the Lord at when I just got a paycheck, when I have some good news, when everything's going fine. His praise shall continually. Shall I tell you, this is a key to get near deliverance. It's praising God before the wall falls down. Isn't that what they did? Jericho was fortified. It had a wall that was 20 feet wide. Chariots could race around it. They gave a shout before the wall came down. Could you shout tonight in your problem? Could you start thanking God? Lord, I thank you for my situation, because somehow, even though it's impossible, you're going to deliver me out of this. You're going to get me out of this. You're going to show me your grace. See, a little voice is telling you, but no, it's impossible. I'm telling you, God has delivered me out of every single problem I've ever took to him in faith. He has delivered me. He has never, never forsaken me. I've forsaken him. I have doubted, but his grace. The Bible says that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because his power, amen, is made perfect in our weakness. Like I taught on Sunday school, that man who didn't have faith, He asked for it. That's a promise. Come to God and say, Lord, I believe, but my faith is not where it should be. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be. I'm telling you, when I met my wife, she gave me a book. And it was probably the most important book next to the Bible that I read. It was the first book I read when I started really studying. And it was called The Power in Praise. The Power in Praise. In just starting to praise God in your situation. Even though it looks hopeless. Even though it looks like you're facing death. The second time Paul was in prison, he was with Silas. And he was locked up in the dungeon, facing again execution. And what did they do? They started singing praises to God. Lord, I just thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you that we have been an honor to be chosen to suffer. Isn't that what the Bible says? That we should count it an honor when you suffer. And they just started singing and worshiping and praising God. And God said, you know what? It's not their time yet. And at midnight, there was an earthquake. God will bring an earthquake into your life to fix and to get his glory. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue. Why we don't get our miracle is because all we do is magnify our problem. We look at the situation and say, man, this is bad. How am I going to get out of this? Instead, if we would try it and just say, Lord, I thank you. I know this is a real problem. Yes, there were really giants. They hadn't made the story up. There were giants. But how does a giant compare to your God? If you start to magnify God, that makes the giant shrink. See, you need to make sure that God gets the glory. Numbers 14:11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? What more can I do to let them know that I'm on their side? See, like me, I think I would be punished pretty bad by God because he has done some spectacular stuff for me. I mean, just completely, there's no other way to explain it but by miracles. You know, just to beat a dead horse, you know. Wiped out $32,000 of foreclosure debt, reduced my principal by $80,000, and reduced my payment by $300 a month. Now, does that happen every day? That's just one. That's just one of the amazing and continuous miracles he did. You know, a few years ago, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, I declared in here that God was going to have us redo the roof and that we were going to have air conditioning. Weren't you here when I said that? When I declared it, that it was going to happen? When no bank would lend us any money or give us anything? See, I magnified my God. And the problem started to shrink. That doesn't mean there aren't still problems, but I'm going to magnify my God. Because he delivers me out of them all. If you are a child of the king, you do not have to worry. You can be like Peter. See, he finally got it. See, when he was just a disciple and the storm came, he was panicking too. But he learned from the master. What was Jesus doing in the boat? He was sleeping. So finally, after the resurrection, Peter got it. You know what? I can rest upon his promises. This month is about the promises of God. Are you resting on his promises? Do you believe when he says, I can get you out of this, that he will? If he has promised to supply all your needs. See, we have to make sure that God gets the glory. First of all, we have to start praising him, even when we don't feel like it. Start thanking, Lord, I thank you for this situation because you have said all things work together for the good to them that are the called, right? If he's put his name on you, you've been called. So God, you know, most of the times, actually, we are actually hurting God. Do you know that we hurt God? It's because it'd be like a little child that you want to take care of, and they won't come to you. They do everything else before they come to you. They'll go to the neighbor. Now, wouldn't that hurt you? If you were someone's parent, and the child was hungry, and they went next door and said, I'm hungry, and mama won't feed me, wouldn't that make you upset? That's what these Jews did to God. He was right there, but they would not come to him. They would not acknowledge him. All they did was whine and complain and not thank him. for all the miracles he had done. See, when we do that, we're giving Satan glory. That's what he wants. He wants to take God's glory and take it for himself. Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Next week I'll be teaching about that. And how he does it is by sending in doubt. Hath God said? Is he going to look after you this time? You know you messed up. You know you haven't prayed. You know you haven't come to church. The thing about being born into a family, there's nothing they can do to stop you being part of that family. You know that. There's a blood relationship. You don't lose your sonship because you haven't spoken to your... You're always going to be a son. Now, you can repair the relationship and get the blessing, or you can stay in the pig pen like the prodigal son. His father was rich, a millionaire. Finally, he came to himself and said, you know what? This is pretty stupid. I'm sitting in here in a pig pen eating stuff that's being fed to pigs, and the servants in my father's house live better than me. I need to repair that relationship. Do you know the reason why that worked out was because he never stopped being, guess what, a son. Nobody else could have just walked up and said, I want the ring and the robe. It was because he was a son. In fact, the father, the Bible says the father in the parable looked, was always out there looking. But it's for us to come back to him and repair the relationship. And you know what? It was because he was always a son. The father said, come, let's get the best robe. Let's put back the ring on his finger. See, Satan wants to get glory in the fact that you are hurting. The only way we can hurt God is when we are disobedient, when we do not respond to his love. Amen. That's what he wants to get the glory. He wants us to worship him by doubting God. So who are we magnifying? Well, this situation is bad. It's a bad situation. And we just keep talking how bad it is. Man, this is bad. We're magnifying our problem. Instead, we should be saying, Lord, this is a bad situation, but you know what? You have delivered me from the bear. That looked pretty bad too. You helped me fight the lion. That was even worse. When we start to magnify our problem and it gets bigger, then it gets even harder for us to believe. Who are we magnifying? It says in Romans 1:21, it says, neither were they thankful. A lot of times, God does a miracle for us and we are so happy we forget about it. He healed 10 lepers. Only... how many came back? One. He said, where are the other nine? See, the other thing that works with God is being grateful for what he's already done. Okay, so you're facing a problem now. Think about what he's already done and just start thanking him. Lord, I thank you for the job I had. I thank you for getting me through that. And start focusing on something he's already done. Be grateful. The Bible says the problems with these people was neither were they thankful. God appreciates thankfulness. And it's something that we can give no matter where we are or what's... how much does it cost to say thank you? You don't have to have no money. You don't even have to have clothing or food. You can say thank you. And that is... I want to tell you that the thing that Melissa was teaching about the power of speech is absolutely true. You have power in what you say. You have power. You need to speak to your problem. And one of the things, the greatest powers of prayer is just saying, thank you, Lord. I worship you. I love you. Amen. And I start to thank him for what he's already done. Many times I think about the times he saved my life, the crashes I've had where the car was squashed up and I walked away almost, well, it was a miracle. When my kids saw that car, they said, they just couldn't believe it. They just couldn't believe it. It was squashed up like, and I walked away with almost nothing. And I think about it, Lord, I say thank you. I've told you the time when the car crossed the median straight at me. I didn't even have time to say anything but Jesus. And at the last minute, something pushed him out the way. I thank you, Lord, because you have proven yourself a deliverer. Magnify what God has done for you. Because if you don't, the Bible says that their foolish heart was darkened. You'll get even more scared. 2 Samuel 12:18, and I'm hurrying. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And you know this story. I think it's one of the greatest things in the Bible about David. Sometimes God doesn't give us quite what we want. What are you going to do then? Quit church? Get mad at God? It says here, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and servants of they were scared, because if he's been just so upset about the child being sick, now the child's died, what's going to happen? Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken on our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. And they said, he is dead. And David, instead of getting mad at God, so you just lost the job, and it was the job you thought you were promised. What are you going to do? I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to pray. David got up and went straight to church and worshiped. Thank you, God. Now, how did he do that? His baby just died. It says that David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothing, and came to the house of the Lord and worshiped. That is powerful. That is powerful. Can we do that? When something negative has happened in your life, can you still worship? I'm telling you, that is powerful. That is how you get God to move on your behalf, when you still give God the glory. Now let's look at this. Let's look at the focus here. 1 Samuel 17:23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath. And we all know this story about Goliath. Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich with him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now David wasn't looking at Goliath, he was thinking about the reward. He wasn't looking at the giant, he was thinking, you know, I could get rich out of this, because God is going to help me defeat him. You see, you're going to get rich out of this. Amen. He wasn't thinking about the giant and his situation. He wasn't thinking about, he was thinking, man, I get to marry the king's daughter. I get to get part of the royal household. Getting the victory by magnifying God. So this is what he did. Look at how David won this. And the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And with the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the field. I'm going to just chop you up, David. You little runt, you little stripling, I'm going to just chop you up. But what did David say? Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield, but I come in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. He made a declaration. See, you have to declare some things before it happens. And God will back you up. You have to declare some things. You have to declare some things to say, because you're a child of the king. You have dominion. You got to speak to your situation. So David declared something. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee. You know when he was saying that David didn't have a sword? Right? What did he have? His sling and 5 stones. And yet he's saying, listen, I'm going to cut off your head. The giant must have been going like, with what? With what? You see, we have to face our situation and declare some things. We can do that if we have a relationship. If we're in relationship, that means we're part of the family. If we're part of the family, then the devils are afraid of us. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you? But if you are part of the family, they got to go. They got to go. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. That's what you got to tell your problem. Sickness, you're going to have to go. Financial troubles, you got to go, because I'm a child of the king. He has promised to supply all my needs. I have a relationship. Devil, don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you know who you're missing? I'm chosen. I'm special. I'm unique. I'm a peculiar people. You know, not in boastful ways, but my mother always made me think that I was special. Special only because of him, not because of anything I can do. As I said, I don't keep my job because I'm good at it. I don't. It's totally his grace and mercy and goodness. And so David declared some things. And this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear. He doesn't need anything like that. For the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. When last have you told your problem that? You need to speak to your problem, whatever it is tonight. Before you go to bed, speak to your problem and say, listen, problem. Name the problem. Because if you can name it, the Bible says that there is a name that is above every other name. So if your problem is a disease, you name it, whatever it is, and you call the name of Jesus above it. You give glory to the name of Jesus because you're elevating his name above your problem. The answer is magnify God, give him glory, and guess what happens? See what happens to your problem? Let me do it again. It shrinks. It shrinks. Psalm 34:03, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. David knew how to deal with these things. He would never give the enemy glory. Magnify the Lord, and then your problem will start to shrink. It'll get into perspective. In fact, after the thing is over, it will almost look like, wow, how could I doubt God? How did I ever doubt God that this would be this way? Amen? So you just keep doing that. You just keep giving God glory, and he'll take care of it. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This is how you war. This is how we war. In the book of, I think, 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles, it tells Jehoshaphat, when he heard the army was coming, you know what he did? He got the choir. He got the choir, and he sent the choir out first. And they started singing. You know, they're going to face an army, and he sends the choir, the praise team. And they're just singing and thanking God. And guess what happens? God gives them the victory. There is a power in just praising God, in lifting up his name. That's what we need to do tonight. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16:29. If you could stand with me. See, I've kept it short tonight. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. If we did that with all the situations we were in, things would be different. Things would be different. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And when it says bring an offering, I'm not just talking money. I'm talking our heart. A broken and a contrite heart, the Bible says he will in no wise despise. When we bring ourselves wholly to the Lord, when we get into relationship with him, when we're in covenant with him, we can ask. He said, ask, and I will do it. Amen. We can declare some things to the enemy. I will live and not die. Amen? Talk to your problem because he is the God of the impossible situation. He is a deliverer. He is the lifter up of my head. That's what Psalms 48 says. Amen? He can take you through the valley of the shadow of death that you can still be asleep like Peter when they're about to kill you the next day. The angel had a hard time waking him up. Get up, Peter. I'm here. Come on, let's go. He was saying, well, oh, this is so comfortable, this cell. I said all of this tonight to let you know we're in warfare. The spies have come back and told you there's giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers. But you got to be like Joshua and Caleb. We are more than able. Look what God has already done. We still have problems. But he's killed the bear. He's put a roof on this church. He's fixed our heating. That's the lion. And whatever new problem we're facing, the devil will come in his name, and we're going to come in the name of the Lord. We're going to lift up his name. See, my father is rich in houses and land. Now, it's easy for me to talk when things are going good, but the proof where God really gets excited, where he really gets warmed up, is when you are going through it and you still do this. When you are really in that place, then he knows what your where your heart is. He said, prove me now. Let's not hurt God by running to the neighbor and asking for food, so to speak. Let's turn to God with our whole heart. Speak to our problem. Let's start worshiping and thanking him. We're living in a day and age where we are always going to face some things. But we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. And not only that, he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So you look for the way out. He said in every situation, he would make a way out. Now, sometimes, as I've said before, the way out is through. Sometimes it's not going around the problem. It's through the problem. But he can take you through the problem. It may look scary, but trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Minimize the problem. Magnify your God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and our hearts tonight. Father, we thank you for this word. Let it be an encouragement to us, Lord. Help us to believe you, that you are able to do that which is impossible, no matter what we're facing. Lord, that even in our situation right now, we're going to give you glory. We're going to thank you for taking us through it by faith. We're going to thank you in advance for our wall of Jericho to come down. We're going to lift up your name right now and give you the praise and the glory, because you are God in heaven above and on earth below. Hallelujah. And your will be done. Use us today. Work through us today. Help us to declare victory in your name. Help us to take authority over every situation. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. Hallelujah. Speak to us. Hallelujah. That we will be able to breathe upon our situation. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Amen. I just want to say one more thing. Now, I started, if you remember, in the Valley of Dry Bones, right? And they were all dead. And God asked Ezekiel the question. He's asking you the question tonight. He's testing you. Can these live? Now, Ezekiel at the time wasn't sure. He said, well, you know God. He trusted God. Now, how did the bones live? He had to speak to them. That's what I'm telling you to do. He said, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We need to speak to our valley of dry bones and declare resurrection. Declare healing. Declare financial blessing. Declare salvation. And you know, it didn't happen the first time, so he had to do it again. It was only the second time that they fully stood up and they became a whole army. So God has got a message for us tonight. Speak to your problem. Breathe on it. You have the Holy Spirit. Let that anointed word come out from you when you face your problem. And I'm telling you, somebody's going to have a praise report. Someone's going to be jumping up and down. Someone's going to be delivered. I absolutely know it. I declare it tonight. Amen. That my God, he said, his arm is not short, nor his ear hardened that he cannot hear. I know that he listens. I know he listens to me because he has done it for me before. And I believe he will do it for us if we come to him with our whole heart. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God our Savior be both majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. Let everyone say amen. God bless you. Turn to someone and say, I believe. Amen. God bless you. Let's come on out on Sunday. Bless you in Jesus' name.